Are you thirsty?
I'm very thirsty.
All right. Hello, you. It's time once again to pour one out for the pouring old man. My name is Russell, and joining me is, as always, is our very own hazy IP Anthony. Anthony, I threw you on that one, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. I'm well. How are you?
Are you sure you're not a hazy IP Anthony at the moment, mate?
Yeah, I know. Maybe I've hit the beers early on.
Do you have an overwhelming sense of deja vu for this episode 4? Something weird about this was, isn't it?
Yeah, it does sound very familiar.
Yeah, it's almost as if someone didn't hit record at the right time last week and went to re-record this intro, but that would never happen. We're completely professional set up here, aren't
exactly.
We?
That's the secrets of the industry.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah. We just won't record that part and no one ever know what happened.
Exactly.
Yeah, anyway, so we are the pouring old man. We are two old timers sitting on our back porch talking about the beer we love. If you like what you hear, you can follow us on our socials, which are
Pouring Old Men on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
And YouTube now as well.
Yes, we are on YouTube.
We are on YouTube, yes. So make sure you, what are they? So I've been trying to memorize what they always say in YouTube videos. So make sure you hit the notification bell.
Yes, subscribe and hit the notification bell so you get reminders.
It used
when
to be
new
easy
episodes.
On YouTube. You just subscribe and that was it. But now you have to hit the notification bell as well.
Yes, so love everyone to get on there, comment, subscribe, and ding the little bell.
Yes. And of course, whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on, subscribe, follow, give us 6 stars if you can. 7 would be even great. Do you go up to 7 stars? I don't know.
I thought it was only 5.
We can get bonus stars, surely.
Exactly. Yes, but subscribe, comment, follow, whatever it is.
Any form of interaction would be great and really help us out as we delve on all this journey of creating podcasts for you.
Yes.
All right. So, Anthony, what have you been drinking?
I have had a bit of a quiet week. I did start off with a very nice hazy, the Mr. Banks McConaughey's.
All right.
It was nice, smooth. It had that spicy sort of IPA.
You know what I like about hazy IPAs? The older I get, the more they stay the same age.
Well played.
Thank you.
But speaking of hazies, I did have the Nomad Rolling Haze.
Yes, and how did that go? I'm always, I'm never confident about cracking into the Nomad beer.
Yep. I've had a couple of nice ones. This was a disappointment. Mm. To start with, it was pretty much clear.
Clear hazy, start. Right, yep.
Yep, particularly after having the McConaughey's next to it, which was just a cloudy, just juicy, fantastic.
Kind of like chalk. I was going to say chalk and cheese, but probably like chalk and see-through chalk, I guess.
Yes, exactly right. Or chalk and Swiss cheese.
There you go.
The Rolling Haze, it tasted all right, but it was just not up to what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I did have a fridge filler, the Cricketer's Arms Session Ale.
Yeah, a long time since I had the old Cricketer's Arms.
The Session Ale I don't mind because it's just it's a light, I think it's like one standard drink.
Just something to wet the old whistle.
Yeah, it's a good one in the warm weather just to knock back a couple or after a nice strong craft beer to finish off with that one.
Yeah, always find I need something like that. Like I come home from work and if I start cracking into the 8% double IPAs or anything like that too soon, then I'm in trouble later. So you just need something to moisten the throat.
That's it. Just give you that beer taste and then easy.
Quench the thirst, then you can start tasting the good stuff.
Exactly right. What about you? What have you been drinking?
Well, I actually forgot to mention this last week.
Yes, last week.
Because this is still the same episode 4. I polished off a bottle of my beloved Ballistic Brewing Coup de Grace, their Russian Imperial Stout, which, that's fantastic. It's one you're going to go get your beer drinking diary out and like clear an evening away because there's a big old 500ml bottle and it's sealed up so you can only, it's not like wine where you can put the cap back on.
That's
it,
so you have to drink it in once.
You have to drink it again, it's 13% or something like that. So you
put the kids to bed.
Put the kids to bed and sip away on that one while, gradually falling asleep on the couch as I do. So
perfect.
Absolutely. A couple more from Blister I had as well. They released their Brew One Single Hop IPA series.
Yes.
Coming in the red can and the blue can of the Hazy IPA and the West Coast IPA. My first time I tasted them, I was all about the hazy. The hazy was fantastic. Yeah. But the West Coast grew on me as well. They're both super beers. Like, they're just really good tasting.
Whenever they do that, each year when they do that, they are fantastic options to go out and get.
It's also a great way to educate yourself about what different hops do to beer as well. And it's always a good exploration of the characteristics different hops have. In particular, like, you know, I probably mentioned, I think last week, that I love the old
Sabro
hop. And this is exactly how I discovered Sabro, was by having a Sabro IPA at Ballistic. And other breweries do it as well.
Yes. Funnily enough, episode 5, I'll actually be talking a little bit about that too.
Absolutely. The other couple I had a Berliner Weisse off. Mm-hmm. So I had two Berliner Weisses.
Weisse.
One from Revel, which was their Strawberry Kisses Berliner Weiss, and one from Wayward Brewing, which is a Raspberry Berliner Weiss. I'm just saying Weiss in as many different ways as possible, and one of them's going to be right.
If there's a German listener, do get back.
Let me know which one's right, and I'll go back and edit that one in. But yeah, of the two, they're both nice. The Revel Strawberry Kisses, strawberry wasn't as prominent. Well, strawberry's a hard flavour to really like have dominate a beer. So, you know, it was there, it was nice, it's fine. Whereas like the raspberry was a lot stronger taste and just more satisfying.
It's a good fruity, it does have that raspberry pop to it. So speaking of which, might have to go ahead and get that this week. It's a good summer warm weather drink.
The other another one I had the Sea Legs Brewing. They had a Oktoberfest special with a Marzen.
Yes.
Which I think is probably the first time I had a Marzen beer, and it's really nice. More of a malty, almost caramelly kind of characteristics to a beer. And
like amber ale?
Yeah, very much like a sort of amber ale sort of colour, and had that sort of almost like a light smokiness to it coming through, and just, really tasty. That's good. They came in one of the big old 440 built cans.
And that
disappeared relatively quickly as well. So. No, that was really good. And the other one, I went back to the Bent Spoke Crankshaft IPA, which I've had that in the past. And I thought it was fine. I didn't think it was special, but I was always put off because they had those open top can designs where you pop the lid off the can and the entire top comes off. And
First time, it's just it's a bit of a mind trip.
It's a bit of a surprise when you rip off the entire top of the can and you think,
panic.
I've been working out this week. But and they've got the normal can now, and I quite like it. So there you go. But yeah, that's all I've been drinking. So I reckon time for a bit of show and tell.
I think so.
You reckon they notice that this is a re-record?
Not if we edit it properly.
I think we got away with it. And that takes us to round one of Show and Tell. Show and Tell, of course, where we both bring a beer to the glass, share it with everyone, and we'll let you know what we think. And up first is Anthony. What have you brought to the glass this week?
I have bought a collab beer this week, so something a little bit different. It's from Revel Brewing and Currumbin Valley. It's their Oat Cream IPA.
So I am excited to try this one.
I have been excited too. It is... I believe already sold out at their locations.
Yeah, this is their second release of this one. That sold out pretty damn quick first time around as well. Have you had an Oat Cream IPA, anything Oat Cream before?
I haven't had one yet. So I've actually got another one in the fridge, which maybe next episode we might bring out, or maybe sometime soon.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I've got a vested interest in this one because I've got a 4-pack sitting at home waiting for me that I haven't cracked into yet. So
it smells great straight out of the can. Quite fruity. And colour-wise, it's that crystal clear sort of most of XPA.
It's got a light haziness to it. Like it's you hold it up to the light, it's glowing. It's hazy rather than cloudy. There's a bit of sediment in there. I hope it's sediment, unless you're doing clean your glassware properly.
So with this one, it's a collaboration of forest and city, born out of a mutual love of good beer, floating on a cloud.
I was just going to say it smells pillowy.
Well, funnily enough,
is that a like fragrance someone's doing?
This Oat Cream IPA is both pillowy and dreamy.
Is it made with real pillows, maybe?
Brewed with malted oats and oat milk. Luscious mouthfeel and haze. It's jam-packed with our favourite hops for that juicy flavour we've all grown to love.
Just got that, the fragrance, is that just that comforted and all-round sort of fruity. That's what I say, like pillowy. It's just that light, fluffy kind of fruity smell.
So it's a 7%, so 2.1 standard.
Is that 7%? I wasn't expecting it to be that strong, to be honest with you.
So let's have a crack on this one.
Now, I've seen around the socials a few people getting confused with the Revel labels with the pink on pink. This is another pink one. So
apparently, people don't read.
If only they put some of those little lettering things on the can, it'd be handy.
Funnily enough, though, their standard IPA is that sort of pink color. So maybe the light pink is their IPA and the dark pink is their strawberry. Yeah. That would be the easy one to go with. That's right. But people out there, read the labels. It's not hard. I'm sure by the stage you're actually able to buy beer, you can read. So do attempt that. And you can at Russell for any of those complaints.
I think we just love past our audience. Yeah. Although I imagine most of our audience can read. We're not Forex drinkers after all.
True.
There goes the other half of our audience.
We did mention me being payout on them last week, so we're cutting down on our audience. Definitely the mouthfeel is that very light. It's not that sort of bitter dryness of it.
There's a soft bitterness to it, but...
Yeah, it's not, I guess, that not dry sense that you get. But
what is an oat cream IPA?
If I was to describe it, it's a typical IPA. Like you've got that resin, that pine, that sort of typical sort of bitterness that an IPA brings, but it's not first sort of hit on the tongue that you get. It's sort of a softer feel to it.
The fruit flavor is not as punchy through the palate as what it smells.
Yes.
And that's not a bad thing. It's there, it's going around. Bitterness pops up every now and then.
Yep, but it's not a lingering bitterness either. It's sort of just you get it and then it's gone sort of thing. So
now, based on its oat cream, I was expecting probably more creaminess to it, but I don't know whether it's just the name of the brewing method
and it's not as hazy as I'd initially anticipated.
Not a criticism of the beer, is more of a criticism of my lack of knowledge of what oat cream IPA is.
Yeah, clearly we know nothing about the brewing process or...
It does seem to be one of the new, you know, the trendy things to the version of.
Yeah, something a bit different, which is good. I like the fact that they're trying different things. Makes it more enjoyable. I'd much rather go do something different.
That's quite nice. I really do like that.
Mm, it's a very light IPA. So I would say if you're not a big fan of the IPAs normally, this would be a good introduction. It's not as full on as say Bent Spoke Cluster 8, where you're getting a whole heap of that dank.
And it's not your Neepers and New England IPAs and the hazies that have the overpowering fruitiness. So if you walk straight into one of them, it's a regular craft beer drink, a regular beer drinker. I have a fruity beer, so that tastes like orange juice, whatever. So this is a nice sort of balanced.
Sort of that good in-between point where, if you were sort of just branching out into craft beer, it'd actually be a really good introduction.
Now, you did say this is 7% as well, and you do not taste it being 7%. This is very easy drinking.
Yeah, I'd be worried on a nice warm day smashing a few of these. And
I'd be worried if I was cooking the barbie and I had a couple of these cans, I'd probably burn the sausages because I'd fall asleep on my chair. So there's not a have like a light sour beer or something like that while you're cooking it, and then when
this is one to have with food.
Yeah, have with the food, not while you're cooking the food, I suppose.
Start off on a session ale or something like that to begin with, where they're
there at the one. It's a new category of burn. It's a burnt sausage beer because you drink this and you fall asleep and you burn your sausage. That's not a euphemism.
Okay, let's move on from that.
Well, I don't go to those sort of parties,
No, you like leaving your keys in the bowl, don't you?
I always lose my keys. That's the problem.
That's why you don't get invited to those parties.
Well, we'll continue to sip away on that. I reckon it's probably time for the news. Right, so in the news, I'll kick us off there, Anthony.
I will kick off with a couple of little things. The first one was Newstead Brewery doing a tap takeover at the Oxford.
Ooh.
So that should be fun.
That's Oxford in Bulimba, isn't it?
That's correct. Yep. So food, drinks, sounds like a good time. So that's on Friday, so I may have to poke the head out there and have a look at that one. The other one that I saw was Helios doing a beer giveaway. So do check out their Instagram.
Ooh, how do you win that?
That's a very good question, so check out their Instagram.
Actually, I know what it is. It's because you got to tag someone that likes the dank beers and someone that likes the fruity beers or something like that. You tag two mates on their Facebook thing, and you win two cartons of beer. I think that might be what it is.
Something along those lines. But, yeah, check out our socials for it. It'd be a good competition.
I don't know why we're telling people that, because I don't want anyone to win it except for us.
True. So don't enter. Check it out. Buy the beer.
We made that last part up. it's not true. They're not giving away any beer. In fact, they're charging you double for the beer. Do not enter the competition.
Exactly right. The other one I thought would be a good one to mention is My Beer Dealer. So they're currently based in the basement, I guess, of Brewski at Milton.
I've never been to My Beer Dealer. They've got a pretty fearsome reputation as being the place to go for beer in Brisbane.
Exactly right. So they are opening a new location. Unfortunately, it's further on the north side.
It doesn't help me at all.
No, it doesn't. However, they're doing a sort of welcome, helping them set up where you can buy for $500.
Are they looking for taste testers at all?
Don't know, but the $500 gets you a whole bunch of stuff, including $500 credit at their new store, plus a whole bunch of other things. So yeah. I think by counts, there's probably about $700-$800 worth of stuff in there. So
that's pretty good.
If you're happy to fork out the $500 to start with, it's definitely well worth a crack.
I have to say, it's one thing that's improving at the moment is the random places that you can buy good craft beer. Like I was over in Ipswich City yesterday.
Yes.
And there's a place there called Cheers Liquor House, and just off near where Ipswich Jets are in the city, they're right in the middle of the city. It's just a random little bottle shop, and that's where I got the my 4-pack of Revel Oat Cream IPA. They had a few just odd like garage project stuff as well, nice. Which was just random.
Which is good.
They had a small range, but it was a very diverse range, and some really sort of weird ones you don't find at other sort of good bottle shops. So.
Funnily enough, that's where I found this one was the guys at Liquor Legends at Annerley. I did say I'd give him a shout out, so yep. There you go, mate.
Well, I'll give a shout out as well. It's a Meadowbrook Hotel, my mate Cole, a big Irish chap. Go say top of the morning to him. He's got a fantastic range of craft beer there now. He's got a lot from Deeds he's just got in. He's got a lot from nice. Brendale. He's done a superb job out there. And I think they've got another store in Daisy Hill.
The range is growing.
The range is growing, and the availability of some of these great beers is growing. And yes. I think it's also helping. People are more willing and wanting to buy local from a local bottle shop.
That's it. And so many places are offering deliveries now as well. Yeah. Free deliveries.
Yeah. Like for so long, craft beer was hampered by the lack of availability. It's gotten better now. You can buy it online, but you don't always want to buy online. I still like going to the shop and having a look. And
exactly. Know. Yeah. Particularly with the can art, you sort of walk in and go, which one's grabbing me? So it was pretty much you sort of went Harry Brown's, or you had to go to, I think it's Black Sheep on the north side, or one of those sorts of things, or go specifically to the brewery. Yeah. Otherwise, it was just sort of your stock standard mainstream craft beer that you could get in most locations.
So even the likes of BWS and those places are rapidly expanding their range.
Yes.
They're doing, the local promotion for, support your local brewer there as well.
I know Ether and Ballistic have been part of that. Yep. I think Revel or someone like that is also involved. So
there's a while there I avoided going to First Choice Liquor Goods. They had shit range basically. They had the Tinnies range, they had the Steamrail range, which is just Coles home brand stuff. But then after about sort of 6-8 months, I went back into one of them, and actually they had the Ballistics. They had some weird overthought, that Stone Brewing from the States in there as well. So a lot more places are realizing that, people actually want to buy this stuff.
Exactly right. And speaking of that, episode 5.
That's a hell of a segue, champ.
I know, we did that well. We are the segue kings. But episode 5, we're actually going to do a little special. And it's going to be our intro to craft special. So what we're going to do is basically sit down and talk about the core range, the easy to get craft beer. And ones that if you're not into craft or you're sort of looking to dip your toes into it, touch on some of those ones so that's easy to get, give them some ratings and sort of recommend ones to try.
Looking forward to that episode. Right, I've got a couple of news items here.
Excellent, fire away.
Oh, right. Are you much of a kombucha fan there, Pity?
I do actually like it. It's probably just as expensive as craft beer.
Would you be interested in a beer and kombucha beverage?
I don't know, because I've tried some of the alcoholic kombuchas out there. And
have I got news for you?
Fire away.
I do. It's a partnership between Kombucha Brewing Company and Stoner Wood Brewing.
That's enough for me to be interested in Stoner
Wood. And they're calling it the Sneaky Butcher of Byron.
I like it.
Which that makes me think of the Boys series on Amazon Prime at the moment. So
been, yes,
I won't talk too much about that because spoilers, and it's just very inappropriate at times. Enjoyably so.
Yes.
But yeah, so Baron Kombucha from Sneaky Butcher of Byron, coming in three flavors or types, I suppose, in an XBA, a lager, and summer.
Which, intriguing.
But they don't say it's a summer lager or summer ale. They just call it summer, which is a bit strange.
So just light and fruity, I guess.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see how much difference there is between a lager and a summer. They're both tending to be similar. Yeah. But they're all 4% alcohol in them and 25% lower carbs than regular beer.
So nice, light, and good for the gut.
Exactly, exactly. It's a good way to say, you know, if you're getting grief from the missus about, are you drinking another beer? So, no, love, this one's kombucha.
Yes.
And you just put your finger. Just cover the, where it says beer and kombucha. Just cover the beer and with your finger and say, no, love, it's kombucha.
True. Yeah, can't lose.
Yeah, exactly. The other one I want to shout out in the news today is Bacchus Brewing. They have a appeal going on at the moment called Bacchus at Bacchus. They are about to change from putting their beers into bottles and launching a canning range with new labels and stuff like that. These guys are the renegades of craft brewing around Brisbane. These guys have been around for a while, and I know we say a few places do some sort of batshit stuff. These guys are bonkers.
They do. They're one of those ones that have got a small but really dedicated hardcore following.
They just throw everything into the brew and they just make it work. It's amazing. Like the long ago, the first one I had from theirs, and you know, going back, what was it, 5-6 years ago, and down in Melbourne,
a fair while ago.
Yeah, it was the Sex, Drugs, and Rocky Road, which was 8% Rocky Road beer, and it blew my mind. It's the first time I really had a dessert beer, and it's the first time I really realized that beer could taste like something that wasn't beer, and it was absolutely fantastic. And I know they've also got coming up a pumpkin spice beer coming up as well, because I love my pumpkin spice, but I don't live near a Starbucks, so it might have to do.
Actually, we might have to check out some pumpkin beers and do a Halloween special.
Yeah, because I know last year Slipstream did a pumpkin beer last year as well. So there you go. That was pretty good. I enjoyed that.
Just where are ideas, people.
Oh, we are, mate. We are. We should write the shit down. They also, I think it was Australia Day Bacchus. They did a chili mud crab beer.
Ooh.
So like I said, they just find stuff and they make a beer out of it.
I like the sounds of that.
Exactly. So I need to go out of my way and check these guys out and go to their brewery over in, I think, Palabar or somewhere.
Yes, they're on the east side of Brisbane, so on the Redlands.
Area. So if you're a fan of good beers and crazy beers and, you know, guys are passionate about what they do, go support the guys at Bacchus for that one. That's all I've got for the news. Are you thirsty?
I'm very thirsty.
All right. For show and tell this week, I have gone back to my roots, being a Kiwi. I've gone to New Zealand. I've gone to the Mighty Garage Project, and I present to you Surrender to the Void Vanilla Boysenberry Cheesecake. I think it's a stout.
I'm excited by this no matter what. It's Garage Project. It is all sorts of flavors that sound awesome. So
I will have to point out that I put myself on a diet the other week because I weigh about the equivalent of a small water buffalo at the moment. In fact, that's what it says on my scales, and jump on my scales and shows me a picture of a water buffalo. I was like, there you go. And since then, you notice the last 3 weeks, the beers that I've had was the late night snack, which is blueberry and blueberry pancakes. Last week I brought tea and Bickies, and this week I'm bringing vanilla boysenberry cheesecake.
So you're going desserts. You're not drinking beer.
I've taken all the desserts out of my life and focused it into my beer.
So I like it.
It's an outlet for my diet frustration. So
there you go. It works. Amazing.
Wait next week when I bring salt and vinegar chip beer from Samboy or something, because I haven't had chips for a while. But yes, this is Garage Project Surrender to the Void Vanilla Boysenberry Cheesecake. I am extremely excited about this one. I nearly drank it before we got to the show today.
I'm looking forward to see how this comes out. I'm hoping it's sort of that dark purple I'm definitely excited by this one. So it's got some great can art. It is like a really deep purple.
It's got the dark stout look to it, but it's got the red of the boysenberries coming through as well. Look at the light catching as it pours in the can as well. That's
funnily enough, even the head's got that color.
It's got like that purpley kind of color to it as well.
Yeah, it's got a bit of a just a tinge. It's not all the way sort of that purple, not all the way black.
Right, wow. I'll just look at the ingredients. There's water, malt, hops, yeast, boysenberries, vanilla pods, graham crackers, and lactose. So surrender to the void, an irregular series of outrageously decadent pitch black stouts brewed using an enormous complex malt bill, amounts of debaucherous adjuncts. In this edition, the void gobbles down all the vanilla boysenberry cheesecake, and then he goes back for a second helping. So that's
yeah, that's some funky beer information. Absolutely. What percentage is this?
This weighs in at just a very cheeky 11.5%. That's a hell of a dessert.
Yep. That'd make me go to sleep after that dessert.
All right.
Smell is it's a fruity stout. You've got that stout, sort of that.
It's got that almost like a Black Forest kind of smell to it. You know, that dark fruit.
Actually, that'd be the best sort of, if you were picking up a Black Forest cake and sort of sniffing it, that'd be what you'd be getting. It smells tremendous. You want to have a crack on that one first. But yeah, the can art's fantastic. It is just random sort of arty. You've got aliens, tigers, the middle eye.
Oh, my word.
It's just stuff everywhere. Oh, my word.
That is something. That is absolutely something. Okay. It's intense. It's intense with the your normal sort of stouty or dark chocolate characteristics, but then it's got the almost like boysenberry syrup kind of flavor, like darts in there as well. But it's smooth and it's robust, and oh my goodness,
it changes too. Like the initial is that sort of chocolatey stout where you're thinking, oh, that's a stout, but then suddenly you get that fruit.
But you still get you actually get the lactosey creaminess to it that comes through like a cheesecake.
Yeah.
Like, I've been quite critical the last couple of weeks of these beers that, you know, try to be foods and try to be something and it tastes nothing like it. You can't say about this. This does taste like a boysenberry cheesecake. You give that one a crack. No, they're pretty.
Mm, that is for someone who doesn't drink a lot of stouts, that is exceptional.
Like, it's like I said, it's intense. There's a real robustness to it. It grips your palate and it strangles it. It said, look at my ingredients. There's our boysenberries.
Yeah. Wow. Like I love the boysenberry sours. Mm. Ether does that, Written in the Stars, which is a fantastic boysenberry sour. But this is, it has that boysenberry sort of tart fruitiness that the boysenberries have, but mixed in with chocolate, mixed in with bitterness, mixed in with creamy sort of that cheesecakey sort of flavor.
It's the ultimate compliment to a beer when you hold it upside down for an extra few seconds, just get the last extra.
Oh, there you go. A little bit came out.
There's a little bit there.
It was like, well worth it.
Like, there's always more toothpaste in the tube. There's always more beer in the can.
Yeah.
And that is, wow.
Garage Project. Well done.
That just blew my socks off.
Yeah. That is really good. I would say we'd be talking about the best beer we've tasted on the podcast so far.
Oh, hands down. Hands down. That is, I'm blown away just by the intensity of it. I've had a few sort of fruity, stouty things. Like there's a Tinny's one randomly. There's a, raspberry coconut stout or a cherry coconut stout, something like that. And it tastes like stout. And if you focus deeply enough, you can kind of taste the remnants of a small cherry floating through. And it's there. It wasn't much. And often they don't get the balance right of the stout and the fruit, and you just end up with stout. But that is, they just dialed everything up to 11 in that one and threw it at you.
And it's interesting too, because one of my big gripes about stouts is they can tend to be really quite bitter. It lingers for a long time.
That's something I love. Like that's what I love with stouts. I love the dry bitterness and stuff like that, and it is what puts off people that don't like stouts.
But this has sort of that initial pang of bitterness that you get with a stout, and that sort of dark chocolate where you get in that 99% sort of dark chocolate, but it doesn't linger because that fruit takes over as the aftertaste. So it is an exceptional beer. Really impressed with this one. If you do find it, go get it.
Yeah, if you love a decadent stout and a bright, not bright, just a big heavy stout.
No, that's,
give it an absolute bill. It's so good. I'm just taking photos of it right now. You see that on socials very soon.
We might have to put that one up today. It's that good.
Yeah, it's very rich. Like, as much as I probably couldn't polish off more than one at a time.
No.
One, because it is what I say, 11.5%, but two, it's very rich. It's one of those ones. You have a couple of nice beers, and then, bedtime in half an hour. I'll finish the night off and you knock out one of them. And
this would be one after.
If you're me, you knock out one of them and wake up on the couch about 3 hours later watching the credits of the movie you started to watch.
Good feed, put the kids to bed, and then sit down and crack this one, pour it into a glass, sit back, sit, relax. That's this type of beer. It's not one where you're going to, like we were talking about before, cook at the barbecue, smash it while you're cooking. This is an after-dinner drink you don't want to rush through this one.
Just a flavor bomb that is. It really is. It's,
Wow, that's... I'm thoroughly impressed with this.
Yeah.
Garage Project does it again.
They do. It's there's a reason why they're so highly regarded, honestly. Like if you've ever seen the New Zealand Hottest 100 list for Gabs that they do, it's the Hottest 100, I think last year was like 26 of the Hottest 100 were Garage Project. It's like 23 were Chur Brewing, Behemoth Brewing, which depends which side of Tasman you're on. So half of the titles 100 is made up from two breweries, and there's a reason why. That it's just they're very dominant.
Pretty much them, Deep Creek, Chur.
Yep.
That's pretty much all I've had of the Kiwi beers, but that's what they're doing, and they're fantastic beers.
If you want a good Kiwi beer, try it Lion Red. My God, that's what am I talking about? It should be Tui. Oh, I've embarrassed myself now. Lion Red.
You've spent way too much time here in Australia, mate.
I've got to say, though, I've got to sneak in another plug here for I'm wearing a new shirt today. This is from one of my favourite Kiwi breweries from Hawke's Bay.
See, all these breweries that we keep plugging.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Show some love. Yeah. But Brave Brewing in New Zealand, their IPA is called Tiger Milk IPA. It is phenomenal.
I have raved about it.
It's just a very easy drinking. So if you're in New Zealand and you happen to find a bottle of it, get into it. It's fantastic. And because the good thing about New Zealand, it's probably the same down in New South Wales, Victoria, because Queensland, you can't buy beer at the supermarket.
No.
And the tax is really high, so expensive. Whereas you go to New Zealand, you go to a supermarket, and it's like walking into my beer dealer. Like there's Garage Project everywhere. There's like craft beer everywhere. This is like New World and Countdown, all those sort of supermarkets. And
so the equivalent of Coles and Woolies?
Yeah, absolutely. And they have local breweries as well. So Brave Brewing and Hawke's Bay, where I'm from, like Zealandia Brewing is just a smaller one out in, some paddock. They have their beers in the local supermarket.
Hawke's Bay is good for wine?
Yep.
Good for beer?
It's good for growing produce. And so it's good for all these things like wine and fruit and stuff like that. So that's why it's a
hub. Food's good too?
Food's great. Seafood's outstanding. Like it's...
There you go.
Yeah.
So I think New Zealand tourism?
I think Hawke's Bay tourism needs to give me some gosh for that one, hey?
Yeah, that's a massive plug.
Yeah. All right. So ratings. Revel Oat Cream. It was good.
Yep.
I'll give it 7.5, I think.
Funnily enough, because I'm looking back at last week, so we had a couple of West Coast IPAs.
Yep, I think I'll go to 7 and six. And again, I'm leaving a lot of room for the exceptional beers to get the high score. So, 7.5, that is the highest I've gone so far. So
Midnight Snack from Range is the highest I've gone, which was 7.5.
Yep.
But I think I gave the Reanimator from Deep Creek a 7. So I'd give Revel Rumman, I think, probably a 7.5.
Yeah, I'm tempted to go an 8, but yeah, I'll go 7.5.
Yep, I've got to leave a little bit of room there.
And it's nothing against Revel, because I haven't had other oat cream IPAs. I actually don't know whether that's a good oat cream IPA. Like, I got nothing to compare it to. So
I'm kind of leaning the same way.
If I had other oat cream IPAs and I could compare it to, I thought, well, that one was better. But I can't say this. I'll give it a 7.5. Yeah, you know what?
So it's a 7.5, but room to grow. Absolutely. As far as my score goes.
Yep.
But the key one, the Garage Project. What is it called? Surrender to the void. Vanilla Boysenberry Cheesecake. What are we ranking?
I'm giving it a 10.
Wow. Okay.
I'm sorry, there's our first 10. I'm giving that a 10. That is just, that ticks every single box that I want from a beer. Like, it's big, it's bold, it's just, it's packed full of flavor. It's a stout, so I love it anyway. But it's got the sweetness, but still got the robust,
it's got
coffee, dark, chocolatey kind of thing, but still got the fruity flavor. Yeah, I'm giving it a straight out 10 out of 10. That's brilliant.
Coming from someone who doesn't drink a lot of stouts, you will be surprised at this score. Now, I'm not going to give a 10 just because I've got to leave myself some room. However, I will be giving this a 9.5. That's how good this beer is. So whilst I sit, take another sip, that is cracking beer.
Yeah. I'm kind of happy. I was feeling a bit down and out the last few weeks because you keep giving all these piddling scores to good beers. And it's good that we've got a couple of cracking beers this week. And yeah, we're not cranky old men all the time. Sometimes we do love things.
Yeah, we get there. We've tried a lot of beers now. So we like to rate things according to our taste buds and whether we'd go back. And eventually we'll actually start putting up our scores on the socials as well.
Yeah, we'll remember to do that sometime.
Yeah.
Right, yes, new releases.
They're going to have to live up to a lot after drinking this one, but the one I thought I'd start with is Garage Project. They have a pickle beer coming out.
Interesting.
So it's a cucumber dill pickle sour. I'm utterly intrigued by this. I don't know how it's going to go well. However, it's one that if I see, I will pick up just to try it out.
The problem I have, this is a bad problem to have. It's like the beer we just had, Vanilla Boysenberry Cheesecake, it tasted like Vanilla Boysenberry Cheesecake. So I have no doubt that when they do a pickle beer, it's actually going to taste like pickles.
Yeah.
So how is that going to go?
Which, funnily enough, I like pickles, but I like them on my burgers or something like that. So maybe if I have a burger for lunch and then drink the beer, it might work well.
Mm.
So I'll remember that. Garage Project have also got a German Brezel Ale coming out as well.
Did you say Brezel or Brezel? Brezel.
Brezel. It has a pretzel as the can art, but Brezel. So I'm intrigued by that as well. So hopefully we do see them across the ditch here. So definitely intrigued by that one. Deeds Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
They have a barrel aged pilsner. So I wrote that one down because I thought that'd be up your alley as well.
It would be.
Range Brewing. They have an oat cream double IPA coming out. So now having tried the oat cream,
now, that'll be a good comparison, actually. See how it stacks up against the Revel and Corumban. So.
Yes, so that'll be interesting. They've also got Leave No Trace, which is a pale ale, low alcohol one. So I think going forward, we might have to do a low alcohol / alcohol-free episode as well. So rate some of those beers.
Does kombucha beer fit into that one as well?
I reckon it might have to. So it's beer but not beer. Now, another one that I saw was Hope Estate. They have 4 Oktoberfest beers coming out.
Oh, they're going crazy for that one.
That's it. So they have the Fizz beer. They have an Imperial Hef.
Mm-hmm.
They have just a standard Hef. So realistically, you're going to get the Imperial.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And then they've got a Munich Lager as well. So I would definitely be looking for the Imperial Hef on that one.
I'm skeptical when someone just calls something like a Munich lager or something. Is it just a lager you threw Munich on the name? Or is it actually
apparently it's.
Or be like a taste like Beck's or something like that. One of those.
Who knows? But the Imperial Hef I'd be keen to try out. Another one that I'm quite interested in is the Archer Brewing. Is the blueberry and marshmallow pale ale.
Archer Brewing. Now I've only tried one lot of their beers, and it did not go well.
Yeah.
Now granted. The beer was like on special for like $2 a can because it'd been sitting on the shelf for about 12 months. And I think it was about a month past expiry.
Which is never a good sign.
No, and
craft beer, you do have to be careful of those.
Yeah, it wasn't good. But again, it was an old beer, so benefit of the doubt. Yeah. And knowing the bottle shop that I got it from, I'm not going to say where, but it probably is sitting warm somewhere, not being loved, and I'm surprised they didn't overcharge me.
Did you happen to work for that?
No.
Okay. I thought that may have been why you were avoiding mentioning.
No, because I still go to the bottle shop and they try to overcharge me every single bloody time.
So avoid that bottle shop, I'd say, in the western suburbs. So
around the Richlands area. What?
Huh? There you go. So avoid.
Don't avoid it. Just make a note of the prices on the fridges when you go to the counter.
Double check things.
Just compare.
Yeah. But they're the ones that I'm sort of looking for. Yourself, what are you looking for?
Well, Burnley Brewing. This is, I think, the second time I mentioned Burnley Brewing on the show.
Burnley?
Burnley.
Burnley.
Like the football team, but not as exciting. I said that, episode one. Callback. Yes. They call that a callback in the podcast game. They have got Take It Easy Mango Pineapple Lager, which sounds nice and fruity and tropical. Go right. Akasha Brewing, since the rebrand, the Aussie board during lockdown had all these great ideas for the Akasha Projects label.
Good on them.
They had the Double Hazy they released, came that out. They recently brought out the Eagle Quadruple IPA.
Yes, which is getting rave reviews. Which only
came out a couple of weeks ago. Now they've got the Double Queen, which is a double red IPA or red double IPA, one of those two.
Whatever you want.
So that's come out as well. And again, continue on to me finding beer as my outlet for sweet things.
Yep.
I think coming out this week at time of recording is Mr. Banks. Got three beers coming out, and of course the one I picked out is the Fat Man Special. It's Waffle House 7.6%. It is blueberry waffle and coffee imperial pastry sour.
Funnily enough, I had that noted as my beer of the week to try as well, but I thought that was definitely one that was calling out to you. So we will keep an eye out for that one, because that does sound really good.
Oh, that's actually jogged my memory of beers I had this week as well. Let's throw back to that.
Oh.
I had a couple of pastry stouts from Hop Nation.
Yes. Was that the banana?
Yes. I had the banana one. I think Waz was saying last week he had that one. Yes. The banana one is just mind-blowing. That's really good.
There you go. It's
really tasty. I had the peanut butter one, which it was fine.
It just not as good as the banana.
Again, like when you get to compare it to something, and I compare that one to Ether Brewing and their Creature of the Night Peanut Butter Stout, I hide that one high regard. That is a beautiful peanut butter stout. Yes. It's fantastic.
It's not too sweet. It's
peanutty. It's chocolatey. Yeah. It's Whereas the Hop Nation one, Hop Nation one, it was nice, but it was very decadent, very rich, and it's heavy on the pastry, light on peanuts. So But there you go. Waffle House. I'll keep an eye out for that one.
Yes. And Mr. Banks do some cracking beers. So, definitely keep an eye on that one. They do also have their Lookout, which is their Peach Goes, which is intriguing. And normally it'd probably jump out at me, but Waffle House is just screaming.
The other one that jumped out at me was the Off the Top Rope. I can't remember what it was, but it's...
Oh, Off the Ropes.
Off the Ropes. I was thinking Off the Top Rope. No. Was it
Off the Ropes?
Was it Hardy Boys and the WWE?
We are showing our age there.
I never even watched the wrestling. I don't know how I remember that shit.
Oh, see, I was a massive wrestling fan when it was The Rock and Stone Cold and The Undertaker.
Yeah, no. To be honest, I hate wrestling. I keep referencing it for some reason, but I hate wrestling. I never saw the obsession with...
Don't kill the dream that it's real. But Off the Ropes is a hop-soaked DDH IPA. So that'll be interesting. So hop-soaked, I'm guessing it is going to be packed full of hoppiness. So
I'm a little emotional.
It's finished.
I just finished the last of the Surrender to the Void, and I want more.
Funnily enough, I sort of looked at the glass, and there was this tiny speck of black in there, and it's like...
It's the sign of a good beer when you finish it, and you look in the bottom of the glass, and you're just...
There's still some blackness there.
There is. I was trying to tap it down the side of the glass to get some more of it.
I'm sort of seeing Russ dip his finger in and sort of lick around in it. So
finger looking good.
Yes, that is a fantastic beer. So beer of the podcast so far is Garage Project Surrender to the Void Vanilla Boysenberry Cheesecake. So a 10 and a 9.5 rating. That's pretty good.
From Mass is 9.75 average rating.
There you go.
Yeah.
You did that all in your head.
I did. It's easy because I've got 9.75 toes, so.
On that note, where's Waz on this week?
I have no idea, actually. He's not in your kitchen, I know that. I don't know, but hey, let's find out where Waz is this week.
G'day guys, this week on Where's Wazza, I'm in Happy Valley Brewing in Stafford. Now this has only just opened its doors about 2 months ago, right in the thick of COVID. You know, well done to the guys for pulling out all the stops to get this happening. This is a local for me, so I'm really excited about this one. It's about 2 minutes down the road from my house, which makes it a very easy stop in for me for an easy Saturday afternoon or Sunday drinks. In terms of the location, it's based in Stafford in Brisbane. So right in the centre of the north side, and there's plenty of parking. It's easy to get to. It's not hard to find. So it's a good spot. In terms of the location itself, it's very industrial. It's in a factory, but it's a good vibe. You know, they've got a good layout in there. There's plenty of space. You know, you get a good breeze through. It's nice and open and beautiful. There's plenty of cold beers to keep you cooled down as well. The other thing I like is they've always got a food truck out the front, or you've got the smoker going for, you know, a good feed, and they've always got a bit of music playing as well. And this place is really going off. We turned up at 12 o'clock on a Saturday, and it was almost flat out then. That's when they opened. So, you know, it's very popular, but definitely worth a visit. In terms of the beer, this is the first brewing from the guys at Happy Valley. And at this stage, it's only on tap. I believe they are going to can it very soon, but this is the first brewing just on tap. And, you know, the stuff they're doing is good, and they've got a good range. There's about 12 different beers, lots of different styles. And I tried a couple of them. You know, I was a big fan of the fanboy of all things, which is a fruity and hoppy NIPA. They also did a lager, an American stout, a Mein Lieben, which is a German beer of sorts, a Weissbier. And every one of them, you know, it was very good. You know, some of them probably appeal to others a bit more than me. Overall, I'd say, you know, the beers were probably a 7 out of 10. Quite impressive, especially for a first batch. In terms of the service, I couldn't rate this higher. You know, the guys were incredible. They knew their stuff. They were passionate. And, you know, they took the time out to come and introduce themselves, to say hello, and make sure that we were enjoying our experience there. So, you know, 10 out of 10 for that. Really, really well done. The vibe itself, I've already mentioned, you know, the vibe was really quite positive. You know, great environment, great atmosphere, really well done. I'd definitely rate that an 8 out of 10. In terms of the location, there's generally plenty of street parking. It's not too far from the city. It's about 15 minutes out, right in central north side. So depending on where you're based, we're talking Brisbane here. It's definitely worth checking out. In terms of the food, as I mentioned, they've always got a food truck there. We had wings one day. The next day we had the smoker. If you can go on a day that they've got the smoker going, I'd highly recommend it. That's good stuff. You know, it's probably not a great deal of selection there in terms of food, but if you're drinking and you're enjoying the drink and you're a bit hungry, there's plenty of options. One thing I would say is, you know, blokes, if you're taking, you know, your partner along, and even yourselves, if you're not interested in beer, there's not a great deal of options. You know, there's no cider, there's no spirits. It's purely beer at this point. You know, they do plan to bring these things in down the track, and they are more than happy for you to BYO if you want to enjoy a drink other than beer. So they're very accommodating like that, but just beware that is the only option at this stage. So look, overall, you know, for me, it's a 7 out of 10. Very enjoyable experience. You know, I really enjoy walking into a place and it being about craft beer and being about something different. And I also love to support locals. So, you know, if you get an opportunity, definitely drop in and check these guys out. That's all for me this week, guys. I'll see you next time.
Well, that was Wazza over at Happy Valley Brewing. Finally gave us a Happy Valley ending.
Thanks for that.
No worries. That's all we have for this week on The Pouring Old Man. Remember to catch us on our socials on Twitter, Facebook, and what's the other one? Instagram.
Instagram's the big one that we
My brain has surrendered to the void of the garage project there.
Well played.
Yes, thank you. Well, I've been Russell.
And I've been Anthony.
And we'll catch you next time on The Pouring Old Man.